Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Hell Yes podcast. I'm not going to lie, guys. I wish I was able to film this outside, or I should say record this episode outside, because it's literally 80 degrees out. It's so beautiful. And my deck is complete. I had some house renovations recently, for those who don't know. I normally don't really talk about it on YouTube, but I decided recently I'm going to start vlogging and I'm going to show a little bit more of a sneak peek into my home renovations. It's just when it's going on, there's so much happening that I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, I honestly forget to record. I know I'm an awful YouTuber, but please give me grace, because I'm going to try a little bit harder in this new season. But anyways, I wanted to record this episode outside, but the last time that I had my mic and I was ready to record an episode for a podcast and I brought it somewhere other than in my living room, it was just an issue. I heard like the air conditioning in the background and noise and this and that. So we're going to stick to my studio, aka my living room, for now until I figure out a better way to record in other locations without there being background noise. Anyways, I don't know how we got to a point where majority of my episodes are about dating, but I have been going through my messages on the Hell Yes podcast Instagram. Follow me on there if you don't already. And also on my own main Instagram at Haley Gamba. And a lot of you guys are asking me to talk about dating more on the podcast. And because I don't really talk about it much on my YouTube channel, at least anymore, or whenever I do, it's very loosely, I figured I'd make this episode fun and light, but also useful for those who are entering the dating world in their early 20s or mid 20s, or you're entering again. A lot of people are still struggling with this. This is why this topic and dating advice is so popular, because for those who are not in relationships, they tend to really cling to those who give advice because they want to be able to conquer it and get it right. And the truth is, and this is like kind of a sad truth, but it's also a good truth at the exact same time. When things are meant to be, they just will be, and it will make sense. And all of the advice and everything that you learn sometimes just kind of goes out the window. Of course, the fundamentals and the boundaries and all of the good lessons that you learn in advice are important. But for the most part, all of like the little tips and tricks on how to get this person and how to do that, and it all kind of goes out the window when you meet your person. And that's just from my own personal experience. I have been in committed relationships before. I know how it works. And the self-awareness that comes with being in these relationships is, you know, very early on when you meet someone new, whether this person is going to last or not. Now, not always do you know, but for the most part, you'll meet someone and you'll know, this person's not for me. I can tell that they're not into me. And that's kind of what this episode is about today. So this episode is going to be Dating 101 Secrets, and this is dealing with Mr. Nonchalant. Now, I see a lot of these topics online because there's like that black cat, golden retriever conversation going on, and I really love the takes on that. Although I've really clinged more to a golden retriever type, I have to say, as someone who dated a golden retriever for many years, I think that I'm looking more for like a German Shepherd or like a Doberman, not necessarily a golden retriever. I feel like my personality kind of walks all over them, but that's a conversation for another day. I want to talk about dealing with Mr. Nonchalant, whether you're stepping into the dating scene newly, like you just started dating, or you maybe got out of a relationship, focus on yourself, and now you're dating again. This could really apply to women of all ages and of all situations, because at the end of the day, this is a very annoying thing to deal with when you're still figuring out what your dating goals are. The first thing I want to say about dating Mr. Nonchalant is you shouldn't. And I think the reason why people maybe like nonchalant people, if I were to get in the psyche of those who enjoy people like that, is because maybe you're like a really cute girl and guys are always hitting on you and it's very annoying. So you naturally just don't go for thirsty guys. And Mr. Nonchalant plays a cool. He's like more, I don't know, like eases into getting to know you and kind of comes off a little less obnoxious. But the truth is, when you get to a specific age and you have certain goals, whether it's getting into a committed relationship, being married, having children, and honestly, even if none of those things are your goal and you just want to have a life partner, something that's important is just being with somebody who you know for a fact likes you, okay? It is important that we date people who at least, at the bare minimum, like us. And I say that because a lot of people are in relationships with people who don't like them. They might like what, you know, you do for them or who you are or what you can provide, but they don't actually like you as a person. And this honestly goes for friendships as well. Now, for me personally, I have had a very interesting dating life. I have dated committed relationships with guys who were nonchalant. If I'm being honest, I hated those relationships because they were a trigger for me when it pertains to my attachment style. When I was younger, and I've kind of addressed this in previous episodes, I definitely have an anxious attachment style and it stems from childhood. And I think a lot of the times people don't recognize this until very late in life, but usually when you have an anxious attachment style, it stems from constantly needing validation or praise from a parent, and they were incapable or unable to give it to you based off of their own feelings or their own issues, or they just were not around or too busy or genuinely just did not care. And when you struggle to be liked even in your own house, and that's something that you're raised with, you unfortunately try to redo that dynamic again in your dating life and hope and pray for a different ending. So a lot of the times when we go after people in our lives when it pertains to romantic relationships, we are trying to redo a trauma relationship from our past. And we're trying to redo it in hopes that we can change the ending because we're adults, we know better, we're more aware. But in reality, there's a reason why these dynamics never flourish, and it's because they were never meant to be in the first place. The truth is, your parent is supposed to love you unconditionally. Your parent is supposed to teach you about your inherent worth. You don't need to do things or be something to be worth something. And your value is just inherent. It's just because you exist. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't think it's important to strive for better in life, that you shouldn't want success or hobbies or friends or to do anything important in life just because you consider yourself to be valuable from birth. That's not what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is a lot of the times people struggle with self-esteem issues and evolving and growing into a confident person, whether it's in relationships, in career, in friendships, and just in life in general, when they did not have the proper praise and respect as a child. Now, I think that what ends up happening when you were not given that praise or that validation or respect as a child, it ends up translating into you trying to teach yourself to be emotionally unavailable yourself, or more like not as emotional. And you try to find people who maybe mirror that. So you find also pretty unemotional people, or you can almost even get the ick from people who are emotional because you were taught from a young age that caring about these things and wanting and desiring people to actually treat you with respect is not something that you ever had. So it makes you feel uncomfortable. And I had to really dive deep in my own life as to what the reasoning was that I was always attracted to things that did not want me. And I used to find it fun and exciting to want the guy or the thing, or honestly, it could literally be anything, guys. It's not just men. It's an actual issue that runs deep across the board. And it's just about wanting and desiring things that you can't have. And I don't know what it is about it. It's a little bit of ego. It's a little bit of like a chase. And you're hoping again that you can redo the dynamic from your childhood. I stopped dating Mr. Nonchalance a very long time ago. Now, that's not to say that Mr. Nonchalance don't appear in my life. They just don't get to stay for very long. And I'm going to kind of explain my own experiences and give a couple story times because I find them to be fun. And hopefully it will help some of you guys out in not dating these people yourself. I dated a guy in high school who like really did not like me at all. I remember I told one of my best friends to go up to him. He was like standing in the lunch line and I said, girl, I'm so attracted to him. He was like this super tall, green-eyed guy. He was kind of like the skateboarding type. I thought he was cute. Nobody else that I knew thought so, but typical me, I always like the weirdish kind of guy, but I don't know. I think I'm a little ahead of my time because I think people would find him cute to this day. But I remember telling my girlfriend, hey, like, I like him so much, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's so cute. Him and I never had a conversation, but I was like the type of psycho bitch that would like point a dude out in a crowd and be like, I want him. And I thought I was like the bitch that could just get that, which, to be honest, with confidence, you can. And my friend ended up walking up to him, telling him that I thought he was cute. We exchanged information. Him and I ended up dating. It was a treacherous relationship for me because although he liked me enough, it wasn't because he liked me because I was the one that he chose. He liked me because I was the one standing in front of him, and the girl that he really actually wanted to be with wasn't giving him the time of day. So he was just using me as kind of a way to get over that, or in hopes that it will change his mind or make him feel differently. And at the time, being that I was so young and not aware, I was not understanding it. I thought when I was younger that you can change people's minds and that if you treat them really well and if you show them what it feels like to have a really great relationship, that they will end up falling in love with you. But for the most part, it just doesn't really work that way. I don't know why. It just doesn't. And him and I dated actually twice. We dated for like a month and then we broke up and then we dated again. And what I learned in that relationship was I no longer want to be with a guy that doesn't want me. And it was just so much work to get this kid to love me, and it hurt so fucking bad. And I was, I don't know, like 15 or 16 at the time. So I expect that behavior from a 15-year-old girl. Now, when I see that happening to women in their 20s, 30s, even 40s, it makes me sad because I'm just curious as to why being alone sounds worse than being with someone like that. After experiencing that for such a short amount of time, I learned relatively quickly, I don't want to be with people who don't desire me. I don't want to be with people who make me have to work for their affection and love, because it ends up bringing out an ugly side to me and a trigger from my childhood wound. And I don't want to be with somebody like that. So I definitely course corrected after him and I dated. Now, I won't say that I fully course corrected, because I still think I have some of these negative qualities living within me. And I think they come up when communication isn't present in relationships or somebody's mind changes, because the truth is, guys, people can love you so fucking much and then change their mind. I don't know what is the reason for that, but that's life. And you know what? We are able as humans to change our mind if we want to. That is the power of being a person. And you have to accept that. And dealing with Mr. Nonchalant taught me that I want to be with somebody who wants and desires me. Now, how do you know that you're dealing with Mr. Nonchalant, you ask? Well, I have proof. I have the proof in front of me that that was who I was dealing with, because I had somebody and many people after that that proved that the things that I was working so hard to get him to see in me, people would see automatically when they actually liked me. And it was something that really cured a very unhappy wound in my heart. And it has carried me throughout my own dating life now, because although I am single, when I do meet men that sort of kind of like me now, I try to figure out, is it coming from a healthy place where they're just a slow burner kind of person? Or are they trying to humble me or hurt me? Or they just genuinely don't like me and they're looking for someone to either sleep with or to pass time with? And this is something that takes a lot of discernment and understanding, and also figuring out what it is that you do and do not want to tolerate. The truth is, we don't have to tolerate anything. Even if somebody were to say to you, hey, you know, you should be more understanding and you should, okay, then you go be with him. But if it's not how you want to live and how you want to be, then you don't have to understand shit. It's your life. I will never forget, and this is honestly not that long ago, but I dated a guy a couple years ago, and I was out of my relationship, my very long-term relationship at the time. It was my birthday, and a friend of mine called me and said, hey, I want to invite this particular person to your dinner. And you know, it was a last minute thing, but it was kind of a loose invitation kind of dinner. I didn't have like a structured party of like 10 kind of dinner. I said, yeah, bring them. Why not? Like, and she had her boyfriend coming with her. And I felt like it would be perfect for her to bring this other guy, because then they would have each other, because it was pretty much all girls invited to my birthday dinner. We all got super drunk and I just had the time of my life. and we were drinking, all of us. Like, there was like, I don't even remember how many people were at this dinner, but I believe it was at least over 10, but I could be wrong. And we were all drinking and eating. We were at one of my favorite restaurants in Jersey that you guys know I go to all the time, Luco. Shout out to Luco. I love that place so much. And they were able to like keep my balloons in there, and it was decorated really beautifully. I wish I took pictures, but I think I was like drunk when I showed up, so I didn't actually take any content for my birthday that year. But anyways, I was having the time of my life. We were all chit-chatting, you know, whatever and whatnot. He was kind of sitting in the corner, like on the side, talking to the girl's boyfriend, and I wasn't thinking anything of it. Now, I knew that he kind of was feeling me, but nothing crazy was like happening. It was kind of one of those, like, we looked at each other kind of for a second, gave each other the eye, and then I kind of got back to talking to my girls. The bill had ended up coming, and I was like, oh, okay, like, how are we doing this, guys? And I guess one of my friends said, oh, so-and-so paid for it. So the guy that was invited last minute paid for my entire birthday dinner. And I was flabbergasted. I was like, oh my effing God. Like, I was telling all my friends, oh my God, guys, like Zelle him, Cash App him, blah, blah. And he was like, nah, I got it. It's on me. Happy birthday. And I'm just thinking, like, God damn, that is so fucking hot. Like, don't think he didn't get laid that night, because he did. Now, I'm not saying to live like Haley Gamba, but let me tell you, I was crazy back then. I wasn't abstinent yet, and I was gonna ride that motherfucker, okay? Like, come on. Like, you paid for me and all my friends to eat on my birthday, and this is me and your first time ever meeting? That's crazy. Now, the point of this story is, you're going to meet people in your life who are going to treat you like shit. They're going to treat you like you deserve nothing, that you have to earn their respect, earn their praise, earn a compliment, which is honestly so pathetic and annoying. And then you're going to deal with people who really just are into you and are going to make your life easier and make you feel like a queen. And in that moment, I realize, even again, I'm like, see, this is why I don't deal with Mr. Nonchalant. This is what really gets a man to be noticed by me. You big ball on me. You treat me with respect. You give me princess treatment. You treat my friends and family with respect. You're going to get bonus points in my book. Now, that's not to say that, you know, you do that and you're going to always be the one for me. No, but I prefer a guy who outwardly supports me, who outwardly wants me and will do anything to be noticed. And once you realize that picking the guy who is showing his deep desire for you in magical ways, because sometimes they're gonna do what this guy did, where this guy balled out on me and my friends for dinner. It was the most wonderful experience. And just know, when him and I dated, because we did date for a little bit, he spent a bag on me every time we were together. Like, this man treated me so well, and it was a great experience for the time being. But the truth is, it made me realize, like, first and foremost, I don't do thirsty, I don't do desperate men, but there is a happy medium. And I think for a really long time, when I was more attracted to a nonchalant guy, I think it was because I was afraid that if a guy wasn't nonchalant, that he was going to be desperate and thirsty and annoying. But this guy was very masculine presenting, very masculine in general. He was very handy, and he wasn't desperate or pathetic. He was just genuine and wanted me. And on some grown woman shit, ladies, like, you want somebody who wants and desires you, period, end of story. So I met a guy recently, and this is just to kind of give you context on the differences here, who we went on a date and didn't pay me not one compliment. And I do see this guy quite regularly because he actually pursued me in person. And I can just tell that, like respectfully, that he is like insecure in my presence. And I say that respectfully because he has no reason to be. He's very good looking. He does very well. And there is no reason for him to feel that way. But I think the reason is, and actually I can't really speak to the reason because I can't get into this person's head. But a lot of the times when you're a beautiful woman and you're successful and you're independent and you're confident, it's going to threaten certain people. And there will be guys who purposefully act nonchalant, because there's a couple different types of nonchalant, ladies. There's the nonchalant who are just like that, which those are like the worst because they've been like that since birth. Like, they literally just don't care about women, period. Then there's the guys who will praise certain women that they view are beneath them or that they view maybe don't get as much attention. But then when they're with a more beautiful woman or a woman that they deem to be desirable, they will make that woman work twice as hard for their affection. And then there's just the guy who just blatantly does not like you. He blatantly does not like you, does not want you. You are kind of pursuing him and he's like, sure, I'll take it, but he doesn't want you. And I think that a lot of women don't want to admit that they have these experiences because they're afraid of judgment from other women. Well, I want to let you guys know right now, my platform will always be a safe space for women to be honest. No woman is exempt from certain things. Now, I do think that when you create boundaries and you start to have more respect for yourself and you start to improve your self-esteem and you start to work on your self-concept, you don't experience these things as much, but that doesn't mean that they don't get presented at your doorstep. I just met someone, like I just said, recently who tried to treat me like I'm common, who tried to treat me like I wasn't shit. And guess what, babe? You lost me. He lost me, and I know he's fucking dying on the inside because he thought, let me act really cool in hopes that she'll think that, like, you know, I don't really care like that. Well, not caring is going to get me to completely ghost you. I'm so fucking serious, and I'm not playing this with people. I do not play with my heart, my feelings, my love, my... I have a certain and limited amount of hours in the day. I am not going to spend it talking to somebody who doesn't want me or acts like they don't want me. That's crazy. And I really want you guys to take on that type of thinking. There is something so feminine about being able to just select someone, because at the end of the day, what we need to learn as women is we are the selectors, not necessarily the choosers. Men have to choose us and we select them based off of who is the better choice. And I think that what's really important and super crucial is patience and reminding yourself of your boundaries and self-respect. I think that one of the biggest red flags across the board of men, or honestly of people in general, is lack of consideration. When somebody doesn't consider you and isn't considerate, it is very disrespectful. I have dealt with people who, you know, want me to have dates with them in their city rather than in my own, which to me is inconsiderate to make a woman have to drive to you when you know that they don't live in your area. I've also dealt with people who think that I'm the one that has to reach out. It's giving princess treatment, and I'm not giving a man princess treatment. I have had people think that, you know, they deserved certain respect from me, but then they weren't giving it back. Lack of consideration is just very disrespectful, and I think that when you start to identify it early is when you'll save yourself and preserve your peace. We need to start seeing things early. And I think that even myself, I am still learning to this day what it means to meet people who do not consider me. For instance, a guy will get my number. This is an actual story. Get my number, pursued me, because, you know, I'm not the pursuer, I am not searching, and then wait 2 or 3 days to even send a hello. Now, I normally would not be upset about that, because the truth is, I am not going to look at this as the biggest red flag in the world, especially if they're texting me saying, oh, let me plan a date. But what I've learned is the signs start early. So that same guy who waited 3 days to text me a hello when he asked me for my number also planned a date and wanted it to be in his city. Then also invited me out and then kind of didn't respond when I started getting myself ready to meet this person out. Also just ignores me when I ask important questions. Like, there is a method to identifying lack of consideration. It is super hard to find in the beginning, but once you start seeing it, you don't unsee it. You will see the littlest things in the beginning when somebody is not considerate, and it will all make sense when the big thing happens in the end and you go, what the fuck? I didn't see this coming. But no, you did. There were things that happened in the beginning that proved how inconsiderate this person is. So what is the opposite of considerate, you may ask? Well, I would say it would probably be generosity, somebody who's generous and obviously considerate, somebody who thinks, okay, how can I impress this person? How can I show respect? I am talking about human decency. there is a difference between pedestalizing someone and giving them princess treatment, because we all, of course, want that as women. I think we all deserve that. But a lot of you guys are actually dealing with what's even worse than the lack of that, the lack of princess treatment, which is just the fact that these people aren't even viewing you as a human. They are treating you like dirt. They're not watching you walk to your car at night and making sure that you get home safely. And they're not making, like, there is something so disrespectful about somebody who doesn't want you to be safe. I really think that there are ways to spot this in the beginning. And Mr. Nonchalant is usually inconsiderate. Mr. Nonchalant is not making sure that you're secure. And we're not going to demonize these people. A lot of the times they're going through their own pain and misfortune, and that is unfortunate for them. And also, a lot of them tend to date people that they don't care for. And although I think that that is sometimes common and it happens, I don't really care, because you need to go after what it is that you truly want. And I think a lot of men don't like to go after what they want because they're not ready for it. So take it as a sign, ladies. You are better off alone than you are with people who don't care. There is something so beautiful on the other side of respect and love and somebody genuinely wanting the best for you. A lot of these relationships that you guys want should have an underlying friendship, and you should feel safe and secure, and you shouldn't feel like you're afraid to vocalize how you feel. And if those are things that you feel and you know it's because of this person and not because of your childhood wound, it's time to cut it off at the head. I promise you, when you start ditching these types of people, not only will you notice you're going to start bringing in more people who just genuinely get you the first time, they also will give you what it is that you're looking for. I started receiving more generosity and good treatment when I started not only giving it to myself, but no longer dealing with people who didn't give it to me. There are so many implications to dating people who are nonchalant and don't care about you. You could have children and get married to this person, and they will not care about you, care about the kids. They'll not deal with you during postpartum. They will turn their family on you. You may deal with financial hardship because of this person, because they don't want to see you financially well off. They are either in constant competition with you, or they think that they can rely on you for help because they view you as the desperate one. There is something important to note, and it's that men are not stupid. And people as a whole are not stupid. And the truth is, they know when they're treating you like this. And they also know when you choose to accept it. So if you continuously choose to accept nonchalant, not such great people who don't care about you, they view you as less than, because they know no matter how beautiful she is, no matter how much money she has, no matter how independent she is accepting poor treatment from me. And they know that. So you have to change that narrative for yourself. And there are so many implications for dealing with someone who doesn't like you. There is something to be said when you hear that saying of, he should always like you a little more than you like him. Keep that in mind. That's how it should be. And not the grandiose narcissistic type of like where it ends up fizzling and turning into some sort of weird behavior, but the genuine I am his dream girl type of like. And I don't think that every guy you meet, you're going to be his exact dream girl down to physicality. But there is something to be said when you find someone and it just clicks and it works and they want to get it right with you the first time and they don't want to play with your heart because they know that it's way too much to lose. I want you guys to start identifying these things early. Certain things to look for is someone who doesn't text you back all day, someone who doesn't plan dates, somebody who doesn't open up the car door for you or doesn't consider you during, you know, chivalrous acts, whether it's opening up the car door, opening up a door in a restaurant, or making sure that they're walking closer to the street. Things to identify is if he does not get excited when you speak or always wants to talk over you or does not want to plan a future with you and hates when you bring up future plans. This is somebody who does not view you as his person. And the more that you recognize it and understand that, yes, it's painful to accept that that's what it is, hey, at least now you can be free from the shackles of being with someone who doesn't want you. I think what's more important than being alone is being with someone who doesn't want you. I would much rather be alone. There is nothing worse than being with someone who fucking hates your guts or just does not want you. And I know that God is preparing my husband for me because he knows my heart and my compassion. I'm a Cancer. I'm a lover. I am really just an understanding person and a nurturing person. And I don't want to suppress those qualities. But until I meet Mr. Right, these qualities will keep to myself. They will stay to myself because giving them to the wrong person, the Mr. Nonchalant, is just not going to happen anymore. I hope that this episode did you guys well. Let me know any more ideas you guys want when it pertains to dating or honestly any other topic. I love talking about these things. I went off the dome today, guys. I didn't even write down any notes. So I hope that it was kind of concise and you guys got something out of it. But yeah, love you guys so much, and I will talk to you guys next Tuesday.